Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, so like this whole album, I feel like it's very like influenced by Latin American influences from my life. Like I think that was, I had this, like when I was creating it, I just wanted to do something that was just very intuitive and just came from the heart. And then that was what came out. And I was like, oh, it makes sense because it's actually the music that I listen the most to, like these kind of reggaeton and yeah, different rhythms. And that's also what I grew up with. And I just think the other things that I've been doing before, they are so conceptual, some of them. And I got so tired of that. And I also was like, why am I actually doing this? Is it like, I think it was more to like fit in some kind of art music context or something.
Copenhagen scene.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, it's such a massive departure from Envase. How's that name pronounced for the?
Envase.
Yeah. I was wondering if it was going to be like a Danish pronunciation of Envase or something. Because that is, yeah, a very conceptual record. You've got the Liegedita artwork on the front of it. And there's, you can still hear like the training and the kind of toolkit of that in the new work. But yeah, as you say, like it's much more connected to a kind of like vernacular or sort of popular tradition, while still being experimental.
Yeah, I think also I let myself, because before maybe I didn't let myself so much do more pop things, because. I don't know, I had an idea about me not being that kind of person, or like also not singing. I was like, no, I'm not a singer, because all the girls are singers, like in the school, and I didn't want to be like that girl. So I was playing instruments and I was producing and stuff like this. But then I found out I just really loved to sing also and use my voice and write lyrics and all these things. So I was like letting myself do that with this album. Which was really great, like so I feel like it has a lot of different elements also, because I like so much different music also, and I want to just, I don't want to, I just want everything to coexist, and I want also to try to show that it's possible to do that, so that's also why I think there's so many different directions.
But I love that it sounds so natural, like, because I'm getting a bit of, like, neoperel, and then there's a saxophone, which is super melancholic, which is not so typical, maybe for that genre.
Yeah. Also, like, emotionally, I feel like I want to express complex emotions, like, that you can have contradiction emotions, that it can be very sad, but you can also want to, you can cry and dance at the same time.
Crying like, in the club.
It's kind of,
Yeah, because I think that's also the thing which I find like that can be frustrating within the sort of the art scene here, is that things are meant to be, things are meant to be about one thing. Otherwise, no one is going to understand your funding application for something. And there's always this imagined audience who's like some guy from Ranus who is really skeptical about his taxes being used for this anyway. And he has to like go, okay, that's a straightforward story. And whereas like this is... this record is kind of characterized by, like you're saying, these multiple emotions happening simultaneously, and then also these kind of multiple realities and worlds happening simultaneously. And that kind of complexity, is not immediately celebrated by art scenes normally, I don't think.
No, it can be really difficult to understand, I think, for other people. For some people. Some people can really relate to it.
Yeah.
And then it's really nice. That's the people that I'm doing it for. The people who like, who feel seen or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just, it's like also kind of an exposure thing. Like it can be a very sheltered scene here as well. Like, also that same kind of like funding mechanism thing, like it kind of gives you a pathway to make a certain kind of work and then have a certain kind of life. But if you have any kinds of questions about that life, then it's not quite receptive to that in the same way, I don't think.
No, then you're like, oh, are you this or that? But that's like, I feel that's so connected also just to who I am, like, because being from different worlds too. And that's just like so implemented in my whole experience of being alive to like have several worlds all the time.
Yeah.
Like being Denmark and in Central America is two really different worlds, and that's what I grew up with for it. Like it's so implemented in everything that I know. So yeah.
So you've been going like back and forth a lot recently. Are you also like connected to the music scene in Central America?
Yeah, like I have been going back and forth my whole life.
Yeah.
And then I think I feel like I need to do that still.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to do like be happy without doing that. It feels like I need to, like, if I can, it's not always possible, but the music scene is like that, it's different, like it's difficult over there. Like in it's mostly Honduras that I feel most connected to. That's where I've been the most. But the music scene there is it's so difficult because every time something grows, something happens, like politically, or there's no money, or like, so it's difficult for something to like grow there.
Yeah.
But there are people making music. But yeah, the life as a musician is difficult. Like here, we are so like we have so many fundings and we can do stuff and get money. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that kind of like kind of paradox thing where if in the places where there's funding, there's you're allowed to do like one thing, and other places of the world where there's more kind of a organic influence and organic sort of drive, there's no resources with which to, to actually build it up.
Yeah, but people are always doing music everywhere.
Yeah.
Like that's a human thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just difficult with the scene, like especially for like experimental things. That's not so big, but there are some people doing stuff. Yeah.
It's also, I think it also it's about how we think about what music even is, right? Like, in some, like here, it's like this kind of, it's like a profession that you produce the artwork and then people go and see the thing. Whereas in other parts of the world, it's just a part of life.
Yeah. I feel like that's, but I really like that. Like, it feels so much more meaningful, you know, like when it's not divided like that, but it's just like, we're doing it because it's part of life. And it's also a way of dealing with issues that we have and political issues. And it's also dangerous. Like some of the things doesn't exist anymore because it was dangerous for, you know, like they were not allowed to do things.
It's always a thing, like political power always comes for like the organic music communities. Like this even happened in the UK in the 90s when there was like the illegal rave scene, and they literally passed a law in parliament to say to ban certain kinds of like events happening where there was music characterized by loud repetitive beats, electronic beats. I was like, wow, you guys just didn't like that. No one was putting a tax on ecstasy, I guess. That's the
there's always something behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So is there something else you'd like to set up as the next thing for us to listen to? Maybe like a kind of influence of yours or...
I brought some... there's both... this Victor Jara, but that's more connected to something else, maybe.
Okay.
But I think I was thinking, like, what is actually my influences that always follows me, or like that has been there for a long time, and then also this Chukwumamani Konduri, a new album, also Elijah Crampton, I don't know if they use that name anymore, but. But yeah, that's such a big influence on me in general. I think it has made me feel seen also about like making complex things and putting so many things together at the same time and like referencing different things and have some kind of something to say with it. Like it feels so meaningful for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel empty. Yeah, so there's this new album released, I think, last fall. Yeah. It's DJ E. Mm-hmm.
Do you know which track you wanted to play?
Maybe just the first one.
Breathing? Yeah. Okay, so this is Breathing. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This was Breeding by Chokermani Kondori. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of my favorite records last year. So thanks for choosing this. I love that, like, the beginning of this track sounds almost like a football chant. Like, it's really ecstatic. Mm. Sounds like a whole stadium being, like...
Yeah. It's so, like, immersive.
Yeah. And has something, like, really celebratory about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... Yeah.
It's like, but it's also like really complex as well, because it mm-hmm. is exactly what you're saying about it. Yeah, it's like this again. The influence to your work is like really clear as well, in that it's not saying that emotions are ever purely felt. They're always like felt in tandem with a kind of melancholy and with attachments to different kinds of world. Mm-hmm. And then it would just have this like really fascinating thing of just having this really consistent synth pad at the bottom of it, which is the only thing that's holding it together in a way. which, yeah, we can do like kind of representational things like, oh, is that some sort of life force thing or is it like something else? But it drives it through even though it's going in all kinds of different places. And yeah, it has a melancholy, but it also has a joy in it.
Mm. Yeah, it has this kind of optimism, like this synth pad.
But like, but not like an optimism which is like simple. It's just kind of like, yeah, some of this is going to suck. Yeah. But actually, there's something worth preserving and holding on to even under all the layers. It's just like, that's the first time I've heard that. So I was just like, this is kind of blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also all the other things. Yeah. And the mixtapes also. They're also really great.
Fantastic. So, yeah, like when you're talking about like trying to say something through putting these things together, like what kinds of ideas are you trying to share, or like what kinds of experiences do you think you want people to, like, if not like directly go like, oh, I know exactly what Xenia means by this, but more like what kinds of things do you want to open up? What sort of worlds do you want to expose people to when you are putting music out there and like putting these kind of combinations together?
I think I want to like also open world, you know, like to make more combinations or more things possible. So it's like a place where you can like be. It sounds like kind of basic, but like be whoever you want to be, and like feel whatever you need to feel, and like also to make this space for. Yeah, for that, for being an emotional being who feels different things in different combinations. And yeah, and then also I feel like it's also very otherworldly in some way, that it's like magical realism. I think that's the kind of thing that I always come back to also, that it's from reality, but it's also magical. Like it's working with these other layers of reality that I feel like is very present all the time, like if you tap into it. It's not something that is like not in this reality. It's just like tapping into the magic in this reality and other like paranormal layers and like these kind of other dimensions, like to like take it seriously actually and use that also opening up dimensions.
I just remembered actually, like I saw a performance a few years ago with like there was four of you at Alice with like but I remember that like everyone had their character, like it wasn't just like, oh, you're playing this, you're playing that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's also part of like
I think
having
that,
a narrative.
Yeah. Because these things that I did that is more like storytelling or like I don't know how to explain it. But also I did this piece Elva with Sophia, a visual artist, that is like a video sound installation, and also now also a book and an album. But that's also like and that piece that is from 2019 that I never released.
It's a shame. It was great.
But that is also kind of these characters that are telling stories about different paranormal things, like it's from the Latin American myths about ghosts and stuff like this. There are so many stories that you grow up with as a child as well. They're like about these ghosts and paranormal experiences.
Yeah.
And I used these stories in this piece.
Yeah, which I just thought was really interesting, like taking that, but then putting it in a context of like oratorio and some almost classical performance.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very much about that. Also working with that form.
Yeah.
And trying to break it a little bit.
I mean, it definitely makes sense, like you were saying about, yeah, it's an opening of a space, because like both, yeah, your most recent record and then the music we just listened to, like it's very spatial, like you're trying to like provide kind of forums where, like as you're saying, like you can be an emotional being that is connected to the more complex, like the more multiple levels of reality than we often are allowed to experience, I guess. And I wonder if like there's a kind of like sort of a resistance project in that as well. Like, do you see it as a kind of like a political gesture to like put that kind of music into the world?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is, actually.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's something that I want to, yeah. It's something that I always wanted to like make space for. And I feel like that's also one of the, yeah, for me, it's kind of a way I want things to go. And I want to do that with my music as well, like affect the world a little bit in this way that I wanted to go, in this direction that I wanted to. And that's also about like opening people's minds and like make them more fluid somehow.
Yeah.
So that they can understand things in a different way, like see things and not be as boxed and rigid in these ways of thinking.
Yeah, because it just like it resonates with some stuff that I've been working with recently. There's this Argentinian philosopher called Martin Savransky, and he writes a lot about like the multiplicity of worlds that are present all the time, but also like talking about the politics of this, that, you know, we do live in a moment in history where there is this insistence, this kind of like violent insistence of like there's only this one, and it's this kind of capitalist realist kind of enclosure thing. So it does, like, I think to me, it just seems like a really important kind of political gesture to go like, oh yeah, but there's, you know, that's an option of seeing reality that way,
yeah,
right?
No.
Like,
yeah, it makes space for imagining another way of the whole world to be as well. And I think, yeah, that's important. Because we need to build a new world. Yeah.
Yeah, because this one is...
Right now.
Yeah, like, right now.
It's urgent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because this one's killing itself. Yeah. Yeah, really quickly. Whilst insisting that there's no other option. It's a terrifying combination of things.
Yeah.
So it just feels like it's a kind of urgent sort of work that your work also carries as well, which is this... Yeah, this insistence that it's actually not that far away from your experience to see this multiplicity going on and like humming underneath and actually keeping afloat all the stuff you think is like everyday and normal. Actually, there's underneath that is so much other energy which is going in a whole bunch of other directions, which at times people would call spirits or ghosts or like, but it's there doing something, and it's because of... the worlds we have to move through at different times. So it seems really important to just inject that energy into people's ears. If that makes sense.
But yeah, that also reminds me, like speaking of political topics, with the performance you did a couple of years back at that castle outside the city at the antechamber event.
Yeah.
That was with Varnable, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing, like, because it was kind of commissioned performances in an old Danish castle. And I felt like you two really kind of addressed the colonial issue that kind of doesn't...
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that kind of doesn't really get discussed in the context of music scene, because I feel like it is a relatively new topic, maybe in the visual arts scene, but maybe not so much.
It's much more in visual arts, actually. But I feel like that always, that in the visual arts, they address topics so much faster than in the music, in the music part. I think maybe because they work so much with like topics. But actually,
you need to have a topic.
Because I was like, why is it like that? And I think it's, I think that's maybe one of the
different type of funding applications.
It's a different box. Topic box.
There needs to be a topic. But music doesn't necessarily need,
But it might be interesting because I feel like there's more and more artists that are visible in the music scene who are also of like complex heritage.
It's I like that direction that it's taking because only a couple of years ago it was so different. From my point of view.
Yeah, I feel
like it's just like in the recent years there is actually a focus on these issues. And before there was no one was talking about anything. It was just Danish music.
But I mean, it's also a thing. I mean, it's always been like an issue, I think, for music, because I mean, like you were saying before about this notion that you need to be like conceptual, but in this kind of like very evacuated, like sterile European way. And what I was just thinking about, you know, with the music we listened to so far, like the gesture of like focusing on rhythm is already so much like kind of like anathema or like sort of not sort of comfortable within a kind of European tradition. It, even today, like the kind of like sort of white European art music tradition just doesn't know what to do with it. So like academies and training doesn't really want, even like the Rhythmic Music Academy is still going to be like, oh yeah, you can have a beat, but it's going to be, you know, within a kind of standard format that we know. So just the gesture of having like polyrhythmic ideas and like certain kinds of syncopation, certain kinds of patterning, like the kind of political anti-colonial gesture in that alone, I think, is a place that people haven't really, well, people within at least the sort of funded scenes of Denmark haven't really managed to explore fully.
I never thought about that actually, but I can really see that, like especially like in a Danish context. Yeah, so many fields that need to be opened up.
Yeah, because it's also like when you were saying about also how like you no longer wanted to be just either conceptual or like interested in popular kind of traditions and like sort of folk traditions, like going, you can do these things simultaneously. The fact that you can dance to what you're doing doesn't mean that it's not conceptually rigorous and thought through and like investigated. But there is this kind of, and I see it also in lots of different contexts, like it's just this notion that if you can just evacuate yourself entirely and your body and all that, take that all out, then we'll finally be able to look at your ideas. Which like, okay, but now they're completely meaningless. Yeah, so it's amazing that like music just needs to be able to like have some confidence in, you know, the things that make it up. You can actually do some politics in that as well. You don't just have to make it a picture. It can be in the construction of time.
But I also feel like a lot of it, like the way most people think about conceptual music and art nowadays here, is just like, okay, this needs to be serious. Whereas, coming from my background, like conceptual art in former Yugoslavia was very humorous. It was like, okay, yeah, you can be funny and silly, and it's super conceptual, and like you don't necessarily need to look stiff and,
There's so many things that can, like, it's just about maybe having a concept, having some research or like deeper research or something. I don't even know what concept.
But also, just like, you know, being confident in what you're doing, because then you can relax and do what you want with it. Yeah. I think it's also like,
I think that's definitely a thing which I kind of miss here. Because again, like coming from the UK, there's a kind of tradition of sort of intellectual irreverence where like you're being like silly, satirical, whilst also being like kind of smart about it, whereas, which has always been a kind of countercultural movement, right? Like it's always required a certain like amount of people to like sustain itself, whereas when you have this kind of like one game in town mentality, you have to be serious.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah. If you want to be taken seriously.
If you want to be taken seriously.
But yeah. It is like that still, I feel sometimes.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
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 But, yeah.
Sometimes when I look at some of these like very, very serious exhibition texts, and I'm just like, wow.
Also, there's so many, I'm always thinking when I'm reading exhibition texts, there's so many ways you could do, like, why do they always do the same? You could write like a different kind of text, like it's just a piece of paper. And like there's so many ways of like explaining something about something.
Yeah. But it's this kind of like very didactic, like no faith in the reader to be able to follow something or be able to cope with being confused.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and also like this thing about, the complexity of like you can be very serious and be very silly at the same time. Like I've recently been reading this Mexican writer called Fernanda Melcher and her books like Hurricane Season and Paradise, which were, and they just like they're so dark and there's so much about violence and misogyny and but the way it's put together has this really super black humor running through it, and it's kind of daring you not to laugh at the ridiculousness and the absurdity of this horror, and like that is a really kind of novel like sensation. It's like it's like it seems so outside of so many of the traditions, and I think it's kind of refreshing just to get like new combinations of feelings, right?
Yeah. I always get a kick out of that. Like, also when I experience something, it's a new feeling or new combination, I'm like, ooh. That's exciting.
I had it recently coming out. I had it like back in February. I was coming out of the cinema after seeing this film May December, which is like the creepiest.
Christina the other day. Oh, I love it.
Do you know this film?
No.
No, it's a film about an actor going to research a role where she's going to play a woman who was 36 years old when she started a relationship with a 13-year-old boy. And they're like 20 years later, they're married and have kids. And you're really not sure who victims are or what kind of traumas have happened. And it's all filmed very camply.
Yeah.
And I came out of the cinema with this kind of feeling like, I've never felt this kind of ick before. I'm disgusted, but confused and happy about it.
Oh. Disgusting and funny.
So yeah, just like those spaces are few and far between. We'd like to play some more music. What do you think we should listen to now?
Maybe we can go in another direction or like something new.
Yeah. All right.
Because I'm playing now with Emil Palme.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we started this new duo together and that I'm really happy about. Like, it makes me so happy to play with Emil. And I wanted to share one of the songs, even though they're not released yet. But yeah, that is like guitar and vocals.
Right.
Only that.
Right,
nice. Yeah.
So which track is this?
It's En Secreto.
Thank you. como en secreto, cuerpo y alma, me voy como en el secreto, cuerpo y alma.
Wow. Yeah, that's really lovely. But what you were saying, you wanted to take us in a different direction there. So what are you wanting to explore with this new project?
How did this project come about?
Yeah. So we just met up and improvised, actually.
Yeah.
And because we played a lot together when we were teenagers. Mm. And we had this band together, and we really, I think Emil was really, really important for me.
Yeah.
Because he was like one of the only persons who had this same way of thinking, sound that I knew, and music that is very like open, and you can just like explore different things. And I think that was really important for me to have someone else that so I didn't feel that off. Yeah. And also playing this band Bauchelaut, which was really like all kind of stuff. And then we met up to play again after many years now, and it was just like we just played song, like this is just a one take from a session, so we just have a lot of songs that like from these sessions. This is from the second one, but we just recorded everything, and then these songs came out. But I think maybe we're going to record them again.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I also like this kind of...
First take.
Yeah. But it just... Yeah. Because, I don't know, I feel like it's very... It feels very magical to play together.
Yeah.
And it's just like this chemistry or like this very pure thing. I don't know what it is. It's just like it feels really... Right.
And you recently had your first show together.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went really well.
Yeah.
So we just played a few songs.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good. And I'm really excited about playing more with him. Yeah. I was also brought a Victor Jara track because we also played one of his tracks for the concert, a cover. And I thought of Victor Jara after, like, when we were preparing the concert, because it was like, oh, I miss this music. It has been a while, and then I just saw that there's so many links, like this kind of, because there's some of the music that I listened a lot to also when I was younger, and like this kind of very simple songwriting, and also. I think it's so beautiful how they have so many messages in the lyrics, both like all this era of songwriters from Latin America, this Nueva Canción era, that all of the, like, it comes out from very critical time. Like Victor Jara was also in the Pinochet times, and I think he got killed by that regime.
Right.
And these messages that are like in the songs, it just feels very important. And I think that's really inspiring, especially today, because sometimes you're like, how can we use music in these situations that we are in? And I think this is such a beautiful way, because you get so touched by it, and then the lyrics are just very beautiful and poetic. Like it's not direct messages.
No.
It's so poetic, and I feel that hits so harder, so much more strong. That was just a big inspiration. So I wanted to share that one of the songs that we played.
Should we?
Maybe I want to say first also, because this is a song about a child who is poor and like doing everything, like doesn't get to experience how to play and all these things. It has to be an adult very fast.
Yeah.
And I just think, there's so much about both children in Palestine and Congo and like a lot of things, but also my own personal experience about having babies around me suddenly. So I was like, because I have never had that before, and my sister got a child and my friends, and so I'm like, that was very present for me. And I think it's a very beautiful, a lullaby.
Yeah.
And you can listen to
it. Okay, we'll listen. And we'll add it all together.
Yeah.
great. Incredibly haunting, especially given the context that you were describing as well. Like, it's, and I can really see, like, there's also that kind of like lullaby pulse also in the work you're doing with Emile as well. What's also really interesting here is like having that percussion in the background doing rhythm that's kind of on and off it, getting these little details and complexity, because that tension really builds into the melancholy as well.
Yeah, it's really sad. But it's also really beautiful. And it's also about finding some rest in something really, really sad, I think. Or like trying to see the moon and the water. And stuff like
Well, because I guess it's also like again, kind of getting in sort of tension with sort of a European notion of tragedy as being like a warning as what not to do. And actually going like, yeah, this kind of thing will happen, and yet you'll still have to live.
Yeah.
And you'll have to find, something in the sadness that is worth, like, that tells you there's something worth resisting or having energy to do, rather than like, oh, your hubris and tragedy has now meant that you're completely worthless. Don't, there's a warning from like history, and it's like, no, it's actually part of it.
Yeah, it's a part, like, to find joy or to find hope or all these things in the deepest sadness or tragedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, again.
Which is, it's extremely important also.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise it's just inertia. Like the time, like when it's like something traumatic or tragic happens, you just go, well, that's me now. I'm defined as that, and there's nothing else I can do, and there's no other parts of life left worth living. And it's like, no, that's, it's not the end.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, what, like, lyrically, what were you exploring in Secreto?
That's like, actually from a book, like an author called Gabriela Mistral. Gabriela.
Gabriela.
Because I love her writing, and I've just brought it for the session, and then I sang over like one of the texts from her, and I think it really fits.
It works. Well. Yeah.
So. It's called In Secrecy? Is it like that in English?
Yeah.
And to like move spirit and soul in secrecy.
Yeah, that's the only thing I picked up, body and soul.
But yeah.
But I also read that you used some of your grandpa's lyrics on some songs. Like, what he was, he a writer or a poet? Or?
He was just he was not like, it was not his job. That. Like, it was not. He was just doing it. Mm. So he was doing all. I don't even really know what he was doing. He was making shoes, I think, and some. And then he was like traveling all the time, like moving.
Mm.
Building, he started some hotel business also, like building a small hotel and then selling it, and that's what I remember. That we were always in a new small hotel that he made, and sold that. But then he was in all the time just singing.
Mm.
And he made so many songs.
So there were songs that were not just like poems.
No, it was songs. He didn't write them down.
Yeah.
Like some of them he wrote.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, but most of them was just, he just remembered them, and I think there were like hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then we recorded some of them before he died, and my aunt also wrote the lyrics down, so that we had them.
That's amazing.
Which is really amazing because it's a really great thing to have.
Yeah.
But they are mostly about love and and women. and himself being
being in love with women.
And also suffering from love.
Yeah.
Dramatic feelings around love.
Yeah.
Both heartbreak and in love.
Yeah.
Also some of them are about places.
Yeah. Mm.
Like a beach that is really nice in Nicaragua.
Mm.
Like an ode to that. Yeah.
Nice.
I guess that's also kind of like a slightly uncomfortable way to get to know your grandpa as well. It's like, okay, this is a lot of, passion here.
Who's this woman?
A lot of passion. Yeah.
But then I guess, a moment we go like, also a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great. Like, they're really beautiful.
Yeah.
The lyrics. So I used both on my first album, some of the songs.
Mm.
And then the lyrics to Embrujada, they are from, that's his words.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's a really dark song also. I'm like, whoa, what is this about? And it's about also like not wanting to live and all this. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's also really beautiful. I also brought a new version of that actually.
Yeah. Should we do we have to
listen? You can listen to it.
Yeah, we can listen. Yeah,
it's a new version I made because I'm making a video for it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to release that hopefully soon.
That's exciting, yeah.
But this, just it's not finished.
No.
This one also. So it's
exclusive.
It's exclusive.
It's safely embedded in a podcast. It'll be.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating way to hear that song.
Yeah.
It's like, so yeah, so like why was it important to you to reimagine this track for the, because it'd be so different from the